Blog Talk Radio.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need a theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system broken, the school closed, the prison's open. We ain't got nothing to lose, motherfucker. We rolling, motherfucker. We rolling with some light skin girls and some Kelly Rowland. And it's white man world, we the ones chosen. So good night, cool world. I see you in the morning. I see you in the morning. This is way too much. I need a moment. No one man to have all that power. The clock ticking. I just
today, because we have a lot of shit going on. Today is June 8th, 2015, our Manic Monday show. I'm Staniel Lane, obviously. I'm D. Scott. We're having some issues with my engineers here. However, the show's called Suicidal Tendencies, Not My Thing, because we lost a couple of black men this week to suicide. And again, when I first started the show, it was August 2nd of last year. We started the show maybe within 2 hours after Robin Williams committed suicide. And at that point, I realized that the format of the show was going to have to be as such where it had to focus on current events. Like, I couldn't script the show. I can't, you know, get on here and then talk about something and then there's something else that's more relevant. Like, unfortunately, when Beyonce went on Good Morning America or whatever the fuck show she was on and was talking about being a vegan, which is very important, and a plant-based diet, yet she didn't mention anything about what happened in McKinney, Texas. She didn't mention anything about the voice singer that committed suicide. She didn't mention anything about the gentleman that had, you know, been held in Rikers for 3 years that committed suicide either. So I kind of really don't give a fuck about your plant-based diet, and we out here dying and shit. So the reason that I'm talking more, and you know, we try to reserve Tell the Truth Tuesday for most of the mental illness stuff, but it's unfortunate that I can't do that because I do have a black son that I am raising. No, I am not raising him alone. I'm raising him as a co-parent. And it's been brought to my attention a couple times this week that I was called a feminist. Now, unfortunately, I'm not a feminist. I am feminine. And I don't appreciate the fact that, you know, you black men, you come to me with these big words. That's like me calling you a coon or a nigga with an A on the end, because you don't fucking mind calling yourselves that, right? So, unfortunately, I don't date niggas and I don't date coons either. I date professional black men. You ain't got to be professional. I date good black men. So I don't have all these fucking issues. I'm not sitting here with a fucking S on my chest, you know, freaking out on people. Unfortunately, I feel like you guys want to call me a feminist because I'm speaking up for women, because you're not. So if I have to do your motherfucking job, you best believe you can call me what you want. Just don't call me broke. Okay, if we as women have to teach our sons to pee standing up, this is a fucking problem. If we have to raise your children on our own because you have sold somebody a dream, a young girl, because the old motherfucker, we ain't going for it. You know, we want to see things that are tangible. You know, so it's not enough to say that you're going to do something. You have to do it with older women. And I'm saying older in reference of over the age of 30. There's just certain qualifications that a man has to have, like like, you know, your own teeth, perhaps maybe some medical insurance, things like that. You know, we don't set the standard too fucking high. Yet every time we turn around, you guys are setting the standard so high on us, yet you don't compare. So if you want to call me a feminist, you could call me whatever you would like to call me. But what I don't, just don't call me at 2 in the morning or don't call me from jail. Okay, because when men stop being men, women stop being women. When men stopped raising their children in the home, it used to be a time it was a thing of honor to have children that carried your name. And now it's, you know, and I say this all the time, there's seeds being littered everywhere, you know, and yet you want to call me a feminist because I'm telling women to tell you fuck off, and the answer is no. And the reason that I'm telling women to tell you fuck off, and the answer is no, is because you've already done the damage enough. Let the young girls or the other women go, okay? You guys are out here fucking ruining lives, you know, and then you always want to come back to me and say, well, what about the women? The women allowed it, but as a fucking king, you want to call yourself a king, but you're acting like a kid. As a king, you are supposed to run shit. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter anything what a female does. You are supposed to be in control. So I had a statement and I said, I'm either going to call you my husband or I'm going to call you my son. There is no in between with me. You're either my partner or you're my son. Because I either got to raise you because you're a little dude or we're meeting up. We're having a meeting of the minds. Okay, as far as feminism is concerned, I mean, I wear fucking bras. I'm not walking around with no bra and patchouli oil on and shit and fucking burning incense and shit and praying for your downfall. I don't give a fuck about you at all, just like you don't give a fuck about us, you know. And so tonight I want to get into – now. And this is – let me be clear on something else. Let me talk about the McKinney situation. That was horrible for me as a parent of an 11-year-old to watch, especially since we are in talks of moving to Texas to be nearer to my son's father, my ex-husband. Now, I've lived in these HOA communities, perhaps I still do, and I know for a fact that especially when in Florida, they would come and they would say, hey, listen, which the gentleman that you see with the khaki shirt and the jeans on or whatever, he was probably with the HOA Association, and you would see him, you know, just kind of like making sure like nobody jumped in and things of such. And unfortunately, you know, why, how is that not obstructing justice, you know? And then let me point something out that nobody pointed out. When the young lady was slammed to the ground, it was initially the little black girls that went to aid and tried to almost jump the police. Unfortunately, from a legal standpoint, and I know y'all don't want to hear this, but this is the truth, had they have struck the officer and he drew weapon and shot one of them, he would have been justified. So when he drew his weapon, although it was not necessary because of based on his action, okay, what I'm telling you is that let me be clear on this. So the little black girls went to jump the police instant instinct. You had 50 black men and boys standing there doing nothing. And you want us to stand up for you, and you don't stand up for us. No, no, no. So if that makes me a feminist, I don't care. Okay, then you had an older black gentleman stand there. Oh, come on, man. And fuck that. Listen, I'm not saying that you should die for anybody, but y'all motherfuckers be sitting up here talking about ride or die. When the fuck you gonna ride or die for us? That little girl, y'all sat there and did nothing. Nobody did anything for that little girl. Then you're yanking little black boys on the ground. Everyone is watching. Here's the other shit that I don't like as far as black men are concerned. The next day, okay, they talked to some of the residents that were there. One of them was a black male. And he said, well, that's actually not what happened at all. The police were called because some of the youth, there was a party that they had rented out, you know, the clubhouse, and that's fine. And they rented out the clubhouse, and then there was youth jumping over the fence. So let me get this straight. Y'all called the police, black man, you called the police on the party, And now you're sitting up here on national motherfucking television telling everybody that it was the black kids' fault. And you wonder why we don't fuck with you. Because at the end of the day, you can't be a king and you can't be a fucking kid. If you as a man could not go to a fucking pool party and stop kids from jumping over the fence without calling the fucking police, fuck you. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. Fuck you. But especially you, black man, in the situation that you went on national television, because now what you don't know, you stupid motherfucker, is that they're going to take that particular clip of a black man saying, no, that's not what happened. So now what you've just done is co-signed everything that this dirty police officer did because you want to be on TV because you can't shut the fuck up and you couldn't protect your own fucking family. So again, like I said, if I'm going to be a feminist, I will rather be a feminist than a punk-ass man any motherfucking day, okay? If my kid has a party at the pool and kids are jumping the fence, I'm grown enough to say, this isn't going down right here. We're not going to do this. And based upon black men getting killed and children getting fucked up, I'm not going to call the police. I might call my husband. I might call some of the other parents and say, hey, you know, we can't be doing this, okay? This was not a riot mentality, like similar to what they tried to say the Allen Iverson issue is. You know, I'm out here having my son damn near terrified to even go to any type of community event because of the Allen Iverson situation that I just watched where he was bowling and they said it was a mob-like activity. That is a federal offense. Okay, you got a motherfucker police officer rolling in the street like Dragon Ball Z and shit for no apparent motherfucking reason. You know, you men, you sat there and you did nothing. Don't talk to me about nothing. And you sat there and did nothing when this little girl, this wasn't even like a crazy big black woman, just rah, you know, Godzilla. You did fucking nothing. So you want us to ride or die for you? You fuck you. You ride or die for us too. Black man, I'm ashamed of you in that particular situation, especially the one that was standing there. Oh, come on. You don't got fuck that. Get shot in the pinky toe. I don't care what you do. Those little girls were ready to ride or die for that little girl, but you couldn't do it. And I'm not talking about the youth. I'm not talking about the young black male youth because they knew from point when they saw the police, they had to sit down. But from man to man, you couldn't ask this officer to stop. You couldn't intimidate him enough. That's how fucking irrelevant you are. And then you want to take that irrelevance and bring it back to the black woman and say that we make you feel like that. We don't make you feel like that. Society makes you feel like that. And then you want to bring it back to us. I'm sorry. I don't fucking feel sorry for you. I'm done. Now, let's get to the Khalif Browder. Rest in peace, 1993 to 2015. He was, you know, a young black male, jailed in Rikers Island for 3 years. Wasn't arrested. He wasn't charged with anything. They let him out. Apparently, during the time, he was beaten by the police. He was raped, everything. You know, all these things happened to him in the prison system. He was let out on some Shawshank Redemption type shit. And, you know, was unable to function. He was put in jail when he was 16 years old. And he was born in 1993. He committed suicide. And he was held at Rikers Island for 3 years without trial, ended up committing suicide. I believe it was today or yesterday. Tragedy within and of itself. The fact that everyone comes to me and we talk about money. You know, do you think that if this would have been a kid whose dad was on Wall Street, he would have been in Rikers Island for 3 fucking years without a trial date? No. Do you think that if this was a kid whose father was a prominent attorney or a prominent doctor or someone that was known in the press or in the media that this would have happened? No. In the end, it all goes back to fucking money. Okay, when I was living in Florida, I think a federal offense, I think the attorney wanted, I think it was a minimum of $5,000. Okay. So you mean to tell me that as parents, as we have fundraisers for everything else, we sell chicken dinners for everything else, for football, for booster clubs, you mean to tell me that we couldn't get together $5,000 to get this young man out of jail? Okay. who was never charged, never convicted, not that I know of, and was wrongfully arrested. And then he gets out. It's almost like the prelude to, not the prelude, but the book that came after Precious, which that movie is a movie that I am very glad I only saw one time. Monique deserved every Oscar that she got for that movie because it was too real, and it hurt. That movie hurt me in my spirit. Like, I couldn't. And then the book that came out after it was called Sapphire, and it was a similar situation where he was raped and all this other stuff happened in the prison system, and he was forced to, you know, have to live that way. Unfortunately, he committed suicide. We also have the issue of one of the contestants on The Voice committed suicide as well. And what's sad about that situation is that he was already a drug addict, and his name was Anthony Riley. And this was today. He died at 28 years old. He was a street singer. He did James Brown, all this other stuff. He was on season 8 of The Voice. And he was found dead in his laundry room in his apartment. Now, you know you got to be on a serious level of drugs. If you are chosen, all three chairs spin around, and you are chosen, and you have to go to Pharrell Williams, who is to be your vocal coach, and tell him that you have to go to rehab. You know, and I read an article today, and I'm going to find the gentleman that wrote it because I would like to slap his fucking face off. This happened in Philadelphia. And he wrote an article stating that it's the media's fault and the reality show's fault, because there was another girl that committed suicide as well. She was on, I think she was on The Voice or You've Got Talent or something like that. I can't think of her name right now because that's not what this show is about. She was in a group called GRL, black girl out in California committed suicide earlier this year. And now they're trying to say that it's these reality shows' fault. No. Mental illness doesn't fucking work that way. You know, I can go into any relationship, and people think that I'm being cocky or that I'm psychic and all this other stuff. That's not what it is. If I'm in a relationship with somebody and I'm able to detect what their mental illness is in conjunction with my mental illness, that's not, you know, me being psychic. That's me studying human behavior. And human behavior tells us that it doesn't matter if Jesus himself came down and sat at the table with you. If you were going to off yourself or be on drugs, that's what you were going to do. What we need to be focusing on is, where did it start from? Because that's pain. That's pain. For you to, and then what I don't like about the minority community is we sit here and we say shit like when the young black male actor died on Rizzoli and Isles, he committed suicide as well. And then when you had the gentleman from Floyd Mayweather's camp kill his girlfriend, a professional dancer like ballerina, and then killed himself, we say, oh, my God, he must have been mentally ill. He must have been crazy. You think? You know, there should be nothing on planet Earth that makes you say, you know what, I don't want to be here today, and I'm going to end it all. You know, if you have any type of faith, if you have any type of spirituality, you're not going to do the most vain thing against God, your God, or whomever. You're supposed to love life, right? So, although I may have homicidal tendencies, Robbie wanting to fuck a motherfucker up, it's never really crossed my mind longer than maybe a minute or two, anything to do with suicide. And not even before my son was born, not because I've not been in that much pain. Yes, I've been in pain in my spirit, in my soul. But in my mind, because of the way that I was raised, I always have to know, not even that there's a silver lining, but like, I can't let the enemy, right, whoever that is, win. So I would never take myself, I'm too vain, I would never take myself away from myself. So it's unfortunate. And then you have the female, we talked about it earlier this year, from Miss Jessie's Hair Care Products. You know, she committed suicide. So if you guys think that we're in anything other than a spiritual warfare, you are very sadly fucking mistaken. You know, and so if you want black women, or just women in general, to be by your side, you have to be fucking consistent. man. You can't sit there and 1 minute you about this and then the next minute you about that. 1 minute you selling organic coffee, the next minute you doing this. It doesn't work like that. A woman will take, listen, you have to lead me. You have to give me boundaries and say, Denise, these are the things that I don't like. These are the things that I do like. You cannot talk to me like this, or you cannot do that to me, because I will, you know, I will take that in the wrong way. And so, unfortunately, we have all these men out here that want black women to buckle and to bow to you, but then who the fuck are you bowing to? Because I need to know. Because if you're not bowing to the same God or to the same rules and the same principles that I am, then where exactly is it that you're leading me to? I'm not going to follow you into that particular hell. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm very careful, you know, now with who I spend my time with and who I choose to deal with and everything else, because in the end I always have to feel like, you know, you didn't get one up on me, because I feel like black men have gotten into this competition with black women that you feel like we're not in competition, motherfucker. I give birth. That already lets you know that I am the mother of civilization. So you can't fuck with me on that level. You're going to have to deal with something else. You're going to have to go, like, spear me some fish out of the ocean or some shit. Do some man shit. Don't come to me and want me to stop raining and doing everything that I'm doing because you want to feel more important. I'm not taking stones out of my crown to make you feel like you fucking better than me. As a king, you should already know, you know what? You know, I'm not paying that girl no goddamn attention. She knows what she's doing. Whatever, whatever. I still love her anyway. That's the type of relationship that I'm used to. I'm not used to a man coming and saying, you will do this, that, and the third, because the minute you say that, I'm out. You don't fucking tell me nothing. When a man comes in, my dad used to always tell me, when a man comes in that's got bigger balls than you, then you sit down. And until such time, you keep going. You know, not to say that I haven't met them. It's just to say that they, you know, for whatever reason, the beta female will win based on the fact that she's easier to deal with. I'm not easy to deal with because I'm the better choice. You understand what I'm saying? If I was easy, if you know what? And then I had an issue. I was talking to my girlfriend today about it, and I said, you know, I always got to feel like I have, like, the one-up on somebody, you know, that I'm dating, because I feel like I have a track record of 100% where we could have been in love on Tuesday, and then on Thursday they might have gone to the left, or they're being disrespectful, or they're spreading rumors or lies or whatever, and I have to be able to protect myself and defend myself in those situations. And it's unfortunate that I even have to think like that. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really unfortunate that I even have to think like that. But I told her, I said, you know, I'm so used to men, everything being great, and then when they don't get their way, or when I won't conform to what they want me to because I don't trust you. Really, that's all it is. If you couldn't get me to conform, I don't trust you. I trusted my husband. That's why I married him. You know? So I just feel like, you know, you guys are asking for so much, yet you're not protecting us. And we just saw this on national TV. What do you think that, you know, you guys talk about the white men. What do you think white men think of this? You don't think that 15 white men wouldn't have jumped out of a goddamn pickup truck and beat up officer, whatever the fuck his name is, with the American flag on? You don't think that the white men would have rallied and beat the fuck out of this dude and burned his house down? Because the white guys I know would have. You're not going to put their daughter on the ground like that. You understand what I'm saying? So I just think that, yeah, we have an internal fear of the police and, you know, of all these things, but that's somebody's daughter. And so when you look at us as a culture, and you know, definite shout out to Nate, you know, Prolific, the rapper, that stated that, you know, when we started putting, you know, black children and embarrassing our children on the internet, other cultures thought, well, this is what they do. It's acceptable. It's okay for me to do it as well. And nobody listened to me when I said that when that woman went and when she slapped the boy and was beating him in the street, oh, my God, mother of the year. What they're really telling you is that if I could slap your child, I would do it too. She gets mother of the year award, right, but last week it would have been considered child abuse in Baltimore. And then what happened? Like clockwork, what I said, they did put her under investigation. She had six children. She is the epitome of the black woman that y'all very much talk about, right? But she was mother of the year in that moment. You guys don't make sense. You don't make sense, you know? And where was the boy's father, you know? So right now, because it is
Kanye West's birthday, I definitely want to talk about Touch the Sky. And this song, it's more than just about the vibe. It's about, I don't want to glorify suicide because the way that I was raised, there's a certain place for people that are suicides. But I also would like to take it back to the fact that, to me, the movie Constantine is real. We are in a constant battle every day with demons. If you can watch that McKinney video and tell me that that white man, that police officer, did not have some sort of demonic presence in him when he's rolling on the fucking ground like that, jumping up, talking to people, asserting and abusing his power, then you are very sadly mistaken, okay? So I definitely can understand why, as a black man, because I'm raising one, you would feel that the world too much and it was against you and you weren't going to be able to make it. And what I don't understand is that you didn't get help. And I don't understand why nobody saw that you needed help. I don't have those type of friends. And this is what I mean when I say that if I don't hear from my people in 48 hours, I become concerned. Even a man I'm dating or someone that I'm with or my paramour, I don't hear from you in 48 hours, I'm going to assume something's wrong. I don't automatically assume, not all black women assume that you're cheating. I'm going to think something's wrong. Does he need me? Is he okay? You know what I mean? And so it's not me being selfish, just me being cautious, because I've been around people that just the one wrong word could have turned them wrong. And we're going to get to when I felt some type of way a few years back, I believe it was in 2009. We're going to get to that, and we're going to talk about my new book. But first, let's wish Kanye West happy birthday, and let's touch the sky. If it will ever play, because the sound engineers are looking for a solution for my audio files. So I just don't know what's going on with that. Well, we can't listen to Kanye West because my engineering problem is far surpassed what we thought it was going to do. So we're not going to be able to listen to Kanye right now. And this doesn't even look the way that it's supposed to. However, we can continue to keep going. So what I was basically going to get to, and I don't know why, because my audio was working earlier, but anyways, they're telling me to delete shit. And if you know me, I don't delete anything. I keep everything. So basically, I have some more material coming out, and I basically started a journey where I'm doing a book that's based on Facebook statuses, and it's to raise awareness also about it's also to raise awareness about the fact that things that we put out into the universe and put on the World Wide Web and in the media, we have to understand that, like, you can't continue to put certain things on there because they never really get deleted. You know, and so I go back to 2009 and I discuss, you know, certain things that were going on in those posts. And so I'm thinking that I'm just going to be able to put out this, like, dope book and it's just going to be really easy. But when I go back to my post from 2009, I start to get emotional because some of the people that were commenting on the post are no longer with us. We've lost, I think, 3 or 4 people since that time. You know, one of them including my mother, Lorenzo Bryant, Tracy Hicks, which is, you know, somebody that I worked with. And so, unfortunately, you know, I definitely feel some type of way about that. And so I wanted to do a book that basically showed that I've been telling you guys for many, many years that I use Facebook and social media as a notebook. So some of my posts are a little bit long. Some of my posts are a little bit winded. However, I put them on there knowing that one day I was going to need them and use them, you know, as information. And so as I'm doing this book, I'm looking at, like, the people that were always in my corner, the people that had the worst fucking shit to say, and I'm thinking to myself, it's like, it just doesn't make sense, the level of pain that I was in at that time. And at that time, I was putting on the end of every sentence, yay. You know, I would put, yay, got out of bed, you know, did this today, and, you know, yay. And the amount of pain that I was in at that time is so unexplainable that when I'm looking at it, I'm getting emotional because I know what was going on in August of 2009. I know what was happening in September of 2009. And I haven't even gotten to 2010 yet. So, what, you know, when people come to me for a ghostwriter to do a book, they always say to me, you know, well, how does it work, you know? And I say, well, you know, and I explain to them the process. And then I say, you can have in your mind the idea or of whatever kind of book that you want to have. But what people don't understand is that books are like little humans. They shape themselves. So they don't, you know, I could sit there, you know, I wanted to do my mom's book about, you know, her upbringing and her sisters. And it just didn't work out like that. You know, I had to botch the project because I'm like, this is not, that's not what my vibe is getting me, you know, as far as the book is concerned. It's not what I want. So, you know, we had to go back to the drawing board. So the next book that I release is going to definitely be something that, it's going to be something that people can understand that, again, and I said this a while, I've said it many times, 99% of what you see me post on social media is only 1% of my life. Like, I don't show my homes. I don't show, you know, where I'm at all the time. I don't show my beloved like that, not in a manner that you would be able to guess, you know, who it is or what it is or anything. I don't post, you know, there was a long time I didn't post any photographs or anything of our son because my ex-husband was working in Colombia and Nicaragua and Venezuela, you know, in Dominican, and you don't want, you know, something to go bad. And, you know, my ex-husband, you know, has some sort of political ties in, you know, in other countries. So I never wanted, you know, we never wanted our son to be on there. So it's interesting to go back and look at that as you're copying it. And I think that it's also going to raise awareness to the fact that some people are using social media in the exact wrong way. And unfortunately, that's not my thing. I've always said from day one, you know, and it's funny because I engaged in a conversation, I think it was about a year ago, with a gentleman, and we had had relations or whatever, and he's going in and he's telling all our business, and everyone's like, oh my God, they're inboxing me. They're like, you need to stop because you have a reputation and, you know, you have to do this. And I said, no. I said, because what this gentleman doesn't realize is that I'm making money while I'm having this conversation with him. I get royalties when I go to sleep, when I wake up. I've written many books. I ghostwrite. We have, you know, a publishing entity. What this young man doesn't realize is that every single thing that he says to me, if I snapshot it, I can use it in my book because it's Fair Use Act, right? I don't have to ask your permission. I could put that you said it. But I'm so petty. I don't blaspheme. You know, I would never give somebody any undue credit where it wasn't deserved. You didn't earn, you know, a seat at the table. So I'm not, you know, I'll do the pettiest thing, which is don't put your name in it at all. But what people have to understand is that when you engage in certain types of arguments and certain things on the internet, it becomes public knowledge. No one needs your permission to use anything that you already posted. And in fact, there was a gentleman that just won his lawsuit where he took people's Instagram pictures and sold them in a gallery for over $100,000. The people, and I don't think he needed releases or anything like that because it's the internet. You guys are posting photos. Why wouldn't Charles Manson have 50 of your photos, you know, plastered on his wall? Why wouldn't an artist take photos that he deems interesting and have them printed off and put in his house as if he had been there? And that's what people have to be careful about. You know, you guys are putting your children out there. You're putting, you know, your view from your window. You think people don't know fucking coordinates and can't tell, like, okay, well, if this person is here and this is there. People are fucking sick, you know, so you have to be careful. And then, you know, the book also goes into, you know, there's a chapter, a place of help, you know, a place of hurt, you know, because I believe that people function from two levels. You're either functioning from a level of love or fear, or you're functioning from a place of hurt or a place of help. And back in 2009, I was functioning from a place of hurt. And I'll actually share some emails and things like that that were going on during that time that do not coincide with Facebook, which in the wake of today's suicides and finding out that, you know, we have two black men within 24 hours of each other that committed suicide, it's really, especially in the minority community, I think we're up 40% for suicides in the minority community, not male or female. And so unfortunately, we need to keep putting these topics on the table because you can't tell everything by a person by their Facebook status. And I think that we get very confused into thinking that, you know, just because someone posts every 5 minutes that they're really truly posting what's going on with themselves or how they're doing in life. And it's not like that. You know what I mean? Many times I have posted from a shitty apartment where I was sleeping on the floor, but you don't know that. You know what I mean? When I lived in Florida, when I, you know, had to move out of my big house in Apollo Beach and move in with somebody with my child and furniture in a U-Haul truck, I can't remember what the post was that day, but it, trust me, it didn't coincide with what the fuck was going on in my life. So with that being said, like I said, suicidal tendencies, not my thing. We need to start talking about, you know, mental health in the Black community and just in all communities in general, but mostly in the Black community because, again, in a lot of my books, and especially on Tell the Truth Tuesday, I talk about the fact that, you know, we attribute everything to going to church. You know, oh, you know what, just go to church. You'll be all right. God gonna find a way. God ain't gonna find a way if that electric bill do because they don't want to hear about God. They want to hear about that money. So I just feel like we need to focus more on Black men being Black men and Black women being Black women as opposed to me being a feminist, you being pro-man, you doing this and you doing that. If we're not going to be able to come together as a team or as a partnership or as an entity, as a society, as a community, as an ethnicity, as a race, don't fucking talk to me about nothing else. You know, fix your own problems in your own fucking backyard, and then you come tend to mine. You know, because at the end of the day, I'm still a queen. Doesn't matter what you do to me, what you throw at me, what you say, I'm still a queen. So if you're going to be a king, you got to start standing up straight. You know, I've never seen a king slumped over. So with that being said, we're ending the show tonight because obviously my music isn't working. I need my music, and my engineers are working on it. I do appreciate that. But also because I got work to do. You know, so all right, guys, Tell the Truth Tuesday. We'll hear from you guys tomorrow. Hopefully we'll hear Kanye. Happy birthday. Yay. Have a great night. And remember, we still give zero fucks. Hashtag zero FUX. Goodbye.